This is DH Radio on CJMQ 88.9 FM. Hey, how many of you guys judge an album by its cover? How many of you? You know what? I was a high school librarian for 4 years, and I judged books by their covers. I will admit it. Sometimes a book just feels right, and it's kind of funny because you just don't know what's going to happen when you open those pages. It's the same thing with an album. If it's something that's a little undiscovered, uncharted territory for you, well, what do you know? You don't know how to prepare yourself for it. Well, this last weekend, I was in the lab, as I would like to call it, reviewing a CD, and what a surprise I had. William Fitzsimmons kind of blew my mind in many ways. How you doing, William? I suppose I should just let you talk now a little bit. How's it going?
It's good. It's real good. How are you doing?
Great. You're in Sherbrooke as we speak.
I'm in Sherbrooke. I have arrived.
What do you think about the venue? What are you thinking about the Granada Theater?
Oh, the Granada's beautiful. It's real. Theaters are my favorite places to play. And I've played many different types of places on last years, but there's something just very... I don't know. There's something that's real fitting about kind of this type of music. Whenever it's in a beautiful locale. So yeah, I'm always happy when I walk in and see something like that.
I think it's a good fit, and it's a venue that has that can't judge it by the exterior either, because you can't really.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell actually how big it is, and then when you get inside, it's kind of shocking. Actually, it's pretty neat. So that's really cool. Welcome to the Eastern Townships. Hey, so.
Yeah, thank you.
So here's the thing. I now, you've got this intimidating beard. And I thought, I don't know what I'm going to expect to hear from this guy, because he's got a beard. And that's, it takes guts to have a substantial, it's kind of a lumberjack kind of, you've got this. So many guys want to be able to grow a full beard and can't do it, and you did. And so I didn't know what kind of music I was coming at me. I'd heard a little bit of your stuff from the past. I knew you'd been in Quebec in July, and I really had wanted to get to that show and missed it. But you know what? The thing that really blew my mind about your brand new CD, Gold in the Shadow, is that there is this... You make this... art form out of gentleness.
There's... Yeah, that's gentleness is my favorite thing in the world, and I don't know why that is. I think it's how I was, the music I was raised on, but I think I cut you off. But
no.
I just don't know. But there's something that's very. I'm always drawn to, and it sounds kind of trite, but I love pretty music,
mm-hmm.
And I can't really get away from it. And you know, I mean, I like Led Zeppelin. And, I used to listen to Metallica a lot. I mean, it's not that I just like soft, kind of strengthless music, but there's just something that's very powerful about someone that can say something very potently without screaming. You know, like James Taylor, something like that.
Yeah, Carole King,
always drawn to it. Yeah.
I think sometimes too it's hard to tell what somebody's influences are. Like, you wouldn't expect that Garth Brooks is a huge Kiss fan, but he is, you know, like, so I don't think it's really weird, because I think sometimes you get influenced and inspired by one thing, but what you end up ultimately producing in the long run is a little different. So, you know, that there can be that aspect to it as well. I love, it's like this Gold in the Shadow is like an album full of sweet nothings. Like it's really your voice is just a few decibels above a whisper, and it's like complete relaxation. But there's that, I don't know, there's a beautiful message that's happening. I think one of the things that I really appreciated as well in your lyrics and in your songs is that I think there's a misconception in music these days where if you make soft music, it has to make you want to die. And
yeah, well, I've done a few records which do make you want to die. This one's not that one, but
this
yeah.
is resurrection time.
Yeah, that's the truth. Yeah. Well, that connection is, it really is valid a lot of the time. And, I mean, you know, almost all the songs I've written up until this new group of songs were very somber, and they were depressing, and they were down tempo, and it's the things I was writing about. And I've sort of committed myself whenever I decided that I would take on music full time, that I was going to write as honestly as possible with whatever I was going through or whatever I knew best. And, you know, it just so happened that at the period of time that I started writing, there was a lot of sort of dark things I was trying to figure out and go through. So it wasn't intentional. I certainly don't relish the idea of making people feel worse. But,
no, but sometimes you have to have that darkness music too, you know, like sometimes, sure. Sometimes you need, there's always going to be you want the soundtrack, right? People are looking for the music that fits with what they're feeling or experiencing. So sometimes right. It is.
And the strange thing is that you end up, you know, I was very, very surprised early on that the feedback people were giving me was that they were actually feeling better from listening to this.
Yeah.
This music, and it ended up being the, you know, a catharsis, whereas you would think it would be the exact opposite. So that was, you know, that sort of, it confirmed to me that what I was doing was actually a good thing in the end.
So it's, you know what, I think that part of it is that you're in, like, indirectly, you're in that moment with that person in that thing that they're experiencing. So if they feel less alone, then you're helping out, you know, and it does move on to hopeful times and feeling hopeful. Like, that's the thing that I found listening. I listened through the album several times, and I found that it always, it just, there's a hopeful quality about it. So what changed, William Fitzsimmons? Now I want to know. What's your inspiration for this?
This, yeah, it's a good question, because something did, you know, it was a big change. I guess there's no way to not make a metaphor that's going to sound kind of corny, but I'll just go with it anyway. I was on a road, I was on a path that was rather destructive, and I was just kind of making bad choices with my life, and I decided that as helpful as it was to write about it and to sing about it, that I needed to actually take an action step and see if I could change my life, to, you know, turn it around a little bit. And I dealt with a lot of, I don't want to get too specific, but I've dealt with a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. Some were my own decisions, and others were psychological things that were gifted to me when I was born. But you know, I got help. I got help, and I reached out to people that could, you know, that could help me, and I made choices that sort of put my life back in the right place, and that's what this album was about. It was about sort of finding the balance between all this really, really thing, you know, awful things I'd love to forget from the past, and kind of understanding who I am now, even with that stuff, not turning away from it, you know, but putting it all together, I guess, and you know, figuring out what I want to do next, where I want to go.
Well, it's part of it. That's the beautiful part of phoenixing, right? Like, you have to go through that burn and rise again. So
right, but so many, see, that's the thing, and I'm glad you said that. And that's, there's two different schools of thought on that. And I was a psychotherapist for several years before I kind of stumbled into music. And mm-hmm. I'm of the mindset that insight is the only path towards health. You know, if you want to find a cure or find a mend for something, that you actually have to turn towards it and walk through it. You know, whatever that might mean. And the alternate school of thought is that you run away as fast as you can. And,
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, that ends up being a little more than just denial. And I just feel like ghosts will chase you until you face them. And you know, the people that connect with this music, I think they're the ones that are willing to confront them. Not that it's only, you know, intelligent people who like this music, but, you know, that's kind of true too. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Like it. Smart listeners. It's great. Hey, you know, I'm sure you get asked about this a lot, but I can't not talk to you about it and talk to you and not bring this up. But I know that you grew up in a home that was sensorily different. And that really spoke to me, because, which is an ironic way to say it, but I have a son with autism, and he has a communication problem. So our challenge is that he doesn't speak in a way that I understand 99% of the time. So we have a barrier of that's sensory to a certain extent. For you, it was that your parents are both blind.
That's right.
Were they blind from birth?
They both were born premature, actually, and back when they were born in the 50s, the science of incubation and neonatal care and postnatal care was not really as advanced as it is today. So the long and the short of it is they had hypernoxia during incubation and oxygen, and mm-hmm. this is a little boring, but I'll make it quick. Oxygen at high levels is actually, it's toxic, it's poisonous. So they actually became blind before their eyes would have been mature enough to see. And so essentially they weren't blind from birth, but it was very, very close mm-hmm. to the point. So,
like, as far as their memories would go, they had been, it wasn't a blindness that was there for some kind of genetic reason, or that was there for another reason. It was something that happened. Their blindness happened after they were born. So that has got to have had a big impact on kind of the sensory experience you would have had growing up.
It did. And it was, in some ways it was very profound. In other ways it was rather normal. It was mom and dad, and there was, we got grounded when we did stuff bad, and we got rewarded when we did stuff good. The part that was unusual is kind of what you brought up with your son, is that there was this this gap that exists between someone that experiences the world in one way and someone who experiences it in a very different way. And it's subtle things, I guess, between my parents and I. We love each other very much, but there's no eye contact, and all the nonverbal communication that connects people is not, it just can't really be there.
I hadn't thought about that at all. Like the the subtleties of the nonverbal,
And that's some scientists like to say that's somewhere around 70% of communication is the nonverbal element. So the really neat thing about it, and the wonderful thing, is that I was blessed with a very musical family, and my parents are both involved in singing and making music, and more recreationally than career. But it's been a steady passion in their lives, and they passed that along to me, and that was something that we shared. That was not sight didn't matter with that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be able to see. So when I would sing John Denver songs with my mother or something like that, there was no space, and that gap kind of disappeared. So it made me very, it was more than love music, it made me kind of dependent on music to feel normal, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It's, well, you know what you're putting out there is remarkably beautiful and really unique sounding, and I think a wonderful thing for anybody's soundtrack. There's going to be a song in there that's going to make sense for everyone. So go out and get it. Gold in the Shadows, William Fitzsimmons in Sherbrooke, as we speak, performing at the Granada Theater tonight, March 29th. Thank you.
Thank you so much.